serving, working with small children, that it gets really hard. The house is just blown up and the kids are climbing the curtains. And in that moment, it is so difficult to do what you may need to do the most, and that is to teach the kids to help you with the dishes and to put away their toys and things like that. Because you know that if you just get the jobs done, then you can have a moment's peace and you can give them some attention, which is what they're craving. But it's so hard because if they help you, it's twice as much work. It's going to take twice as long. But when a caregiver takes the risk and pulls the child alongside and says, here's how you wash the dish, here's how you put the big things in the big box and the little things in the little box, there are two things that happen. One is that years later, life will work better, Lord willing. Two is that whenever that kid washes a dish, for the rest of their lives, there'll be that little part of their brain that says, Mommy, Daddy, Grandma, Grandpa, or whoever it was that was helping them. The Lord's love for us is expressed in a similar way in what the Scripture reveals to us about service. When I talk about service, I think you're getting the idea already from what we're saying and what we're doing today. We're talking about basic menial tasks, serving food, chopping wood, vacuuming floors, cooking, things that don't teach the Bible or perform miracles. Things that aren't the spiritual, religious types of things. Today, this sermon is called Wonderful Service because the act of serving can be a catalyst for actual signs and wonders and spiritual, spirit-filled, great things to happen, as we see in the passage in the book of Acts. So this is the fourth sermon in the series on our core values, and we are discussing the core value of service this morning. And just like I had three words to help you with discipleship last week, I've got three words for service. By way of reminder, last week we learned that as disciples, we behold Christ in the Scriptures, we belong to God's family as the church, and we become like Christ in the things that God calls us to do. And today, as servants, in service to God, we find that service is spiritual, service is official, and service is powerful. Spiritual, official, and powerful. Service is spiritual because in the work of God through the Holy Spirit, we see that the most basic tasks are ordained by God and set apart as holy. In Deuteronomy, this simple passage that we read was a reminder to the community that, hey, God has set apart priests. You're a holy nation, and you will have a temple, and that temple will be cared for, and that worship will be overlooked by a group of people set apart as priests. Now, when you think of priests, you think of spiritual things, right? If you read the rest of the Scripture in the Old Testament, what it says about priests, you'll see that they were doing more than praying, doing more than burning incense, and doing more than pronouncing blessings. They were chopping firewood and carrying water. They were cleaning things and organizing things. They were building artistic works. They were teaching. They were singing. They were doing all kinds of work, and it was all in the priestly class. It was all spiritual work. In the passage in New Testament, in the passage in Acts, we have a really important scripture that starts a movement in the church, and it's started with the basic need of people getting food, people needing to get food. This whole section is centered around an issue that widows needed daily food. It was like a soup kitchen. This is practical stuff. It's like what the young men did in Anchorage. But the result of it, is a spiritual impact, and the beginning of the solution starts with a call to set aside people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, people who are wise and filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you come into the church to clean it and you vacuum the floor, you're vacuuming holy ground. And you are holy vacuuming the ground. When you bring your casserole dish to the potluck, I would want you to just picture a little halo of God's holiness around that empty dish as it comes back home with you. It's been set aside for God's service. We had a firewood ministry in Oregon, and it was such a great time of bonding with the brothers that did it with me. But I can imagine Tom putting away his chainsaw and a little halo around it of holiness because it was set aside for God's work. These were menial tasks, basic tasks, earthly tasks. But in God's kingdom, through God's work, they have a spiritual impact. They were spiritual. You've heard the phrase that some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good, right? So as we see this separation between doing practical things and being spiritual, in the scriptures we see that doing practical things is spiritual. So I want you, holy people, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and know that when you do the things that need to be done, whether it's nursery or cleaning the church or whether it's in your house, sweeping that floor or washing a dish, just as I remember how my dad used to wash dishes and I do it just like he did, and every time I do it, I think of him, know that God has his hand upon you, that God's called you to a holy life in the simple things that you do every day. Every day you can remember God's presence and know that God's Spirit is working through you through those things. Service is spiritual. Service is also official. I didn't realize that both of these scriptures I picked are scriptures that connect with the ministry office of deacon. In the church we have officers. We tend to think of that as simply a modern day word of the arrangement of the church, but it goes back 2,000 years, the concept of having people that were officials. There were pastors and elders and deacons. And the office of deacon goes all the way back to the New Testament. In Romans chapter 16, Paul says, greet Phoebe, a deaconess. Deacons were men and women. A deaconess who has served God's church. The word deacon is a translation of the Greek word for service. Diakonia is service, and that's how we get the word deacon. Now, if I had a good enough lawyer, I could put this to the test. But I have been told that as a citizen of the United States, I can make a citizen's arrest. So if one of you is just really off the wall and really breaking the law, I could say, we're going downtown, I'm placing you under arrest. And, you know, if I was successful and didn't get sued, then I would have acted as an official. Just like the city police or the county sheriff or the state trooper or the FBI, they have offices of the government that place people under arrest. Now, I'm not an official. I'm not a police officer. But if this rumor is true and I could make a citizen's arrest, then I would be acting as an official even though I'm not. What I want to tell you today about service is that you may not hold a church office. You may not be a pastor. You may not be an elder. You may not be a deacon. But you should know that service, basic menial tasks, things as simple as serving food to somebody, service is so important in God's heart and in God's kingdom that it's been, there's an office that's been created around it. And you can act like an officer when you serve. You can do something that's so important that there's been an office created around it. Service is official. Service is also powerful. You may do your chores day in and day out and think of them as something that's standing in the way of getting bigger things accomplished. And in some sense, that may be true. And if you serve in the church, with the tasks of the church, you may feel the same way. Well, these things have to get done so the more important work can get done. But I want to point out the whole situation, the way this passage in the book of Acts is laid out. There's a lot more going on than the simple serving of food. First of all, in this situation, this is sort of a side note, but I want to point out, you have a problem that's basic. Some people need to get fed. But the problem is also, as they call for a solution, the solution is huge. The problem is basic, but the solution is huge. And this can happen in our work and in our lives too. Sometimes when we're meeting the most basic needs, God can work in other ways to do powerful things. The problem is, let's make sure all the widows get fed properly. The solution is, we have a potential church split that could destroy the church and never let it fulfill its purpose, so that 2,000 years later, you and I wouldn't be here if this problem wouldn't have been solved. The split is a cultural, racial split. We had the folks that were born Jewish, who were Jewish, and the folks that were Gentile, the folks who had come to worship the God of that is revealed in the Old Testament, and they were being the New Testament while they did it. But they were the minority group, and they were a different culture. And it wasn't just that it appeared that they were being overlooked, they were. And so when people were chosen who were filled with wisdom and filled with the Holy Spirit, all the names that Crystal read were Greek names. So a solution was given, and there was a balance of power. And not only was the soup served, but the church was saved. Later in Acts chapter 15, when they called together a council to deal with a really similar situation, can you be a Christian without being a Jew? The scene had already been set by the way they were serving each other. So when you do acts of service for one another, you're not just helping with the basic need, you're proclaiming a truth. And that truth has power. You see at the end of this passage that a great deal of discipleship was happening. Let me read to you Acts chapter 6, verse 7 and verse 8. Well, I'll start with verse 7. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Food was served, and the net result was that the word of God spread. It was part of the powerful work that God was doing. So when you're helping with Vacation Bible School, just making food, or wiping a runny nose, or cleaning up a mess that somebody made, or making sure that the wheelchair ramp is going to work, these things may not feel powerful, but the net result when God's people start to work is that the word of God spreads. Then, going on to verse 8, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Wonderful service is service in that God works through the basic tasks that we do to have a power encounter with the world so that discipleship occurs, which is not just a matter of practical task. It's a matter of the power of the Holy Spirit. So, as we look forward to our future together and the way that God is shaping the culture of our community. I'm the brand new one. You all have the experience being Haines Presbyterian Church, but for all of us, it's a new season. And these core values are published anew. They're fresh. They've come from your hearts that have been here as long as you've been here, but they're expressed in newness as part of this new season. As we move forward, my heart's desire is that our view of service is a view of holy expectation. We're expecting God to work in powerful ways because we're doing simple tasks that need to get done, but knowing that while we do them, great things will happen that we may not anticipate. Great things will happen as a result of our simple tasks. So, if you're one of the lucky ones that gets your name on the church cleaning board before they're all filled up, if you're one of the lucky ones, you'll know that the couple of hours that you spend in here are not simply busy work, but they're part of a movement of God that God's doing in our hearts and in this church. And if you're one of the lucky ones that is able to serve in the nursery before all those slots are filled, and it's not everybody's bailiwick, not everybody's gift, but if you're one of the lucky ones, then you'll know that you're not just plugging your ears from the racket or, you know, putting out little fires, whatever it is, whatever it looks like down there, or rocking a baby to sleep, whatever it might be, that you're not just sitting with the kids and missing church, that you're part of a movement of God, part of what God's doing. And there may be many, many other tasks, many things that come about. I want you to know, just like I remember my father when I wash a spoon, I want you to know that God's heart is in it when you're serving. So may God give us power and help us to serve with great expectation and with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen.